Bula, everyone. You with me? All right, I'd like to take you to the island of Fiji. So sit, relax. We put your seatbelt on and we're going to fly. Well, it's good to be here and it's good to be here with my wife. Most of the time I travel alone. But it's always good to be with your wife, traveling around and enjoying and then meeting brethren, and it's wonderful. We are very much encouraged. This morning as we come, and the Lord is good. Amen? And He has wonderfully and marvelously doing great work. So we are really blessed. You've seen most of the place that where we are and things we do in Fiji. I'm sure that you might have some question to ask. If you have any question, you can ask my wife. I think she sure can help you with that after the service. I'm grateful and thankful to the Lord for His calling and using us in the island of Fiji. And we say, Bula! So, in Fiji, the Lord has tremendously blessed us with many things. And especially with the ministry there, we're seeing souls coming to know Christ as the Lord and Savior. And we just like to take this opportunity and thank you all for your prayers and your support throughout the years. And without you, we're not able to accomplish what we are accomplished today. It is all we put hand together, we labor together, and we see the result, that God bring the result. And He brings people to the saving knowledge. And we are very grateful to God for what He's doing in the island of Fiji for His glory. Children coming to know Christ, and through them we reach to the parents. So we are very thankful to the Lord. And of course, if anywhere go in the world, there is a need. And we highlight those things. We speak about it. But today I'd like to, for us to see how we can be more, you know, working together, and that the amount of time that we have with very little. Either we're going to go quickly or the Lord going to come. Either way. But we need to be ready to meet the Savior. And the time that is we have in our hand, we need to be occupying ourselves, reaching out to the people all over the world. There is a cry. And people need to know the truth about the Savior who came and died and set us free from the bondage of our sin. We have read this morning our text, and just I'm going to start preaching on that this morning to help. And the title that I've chose this morning is A Desperate Man with a Desperate Need. Say it again, a desperate man with a desperate need. We, many times in our life, we are very desperate. We have something that we desperately need, but our problem is that we are not waiting on the Lord. We always want it now, or we do something about it, we run about it, we complain about it, we mourn about it, we do everything to get that need comes to us desperately. But here was a very wonderful thing that we can see in the Word, that was a beggar, the Bible says in verse 35, if you are with me there, here in Gospel of Luke chapter 18, verse 35, he's talking about a blind man, and he also was a beggar. And the Bible says, and it came to pass that he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man, he said, a certain blind man sat by the way and begged. And he was begging. And I don't see much here in Australia, but in Fiji there are a lot of beggars. Yeah, they will always come to you and no, they will say lewa, ningone. That's a Fijian word I'm talking, so I'm not talking in tongues, so don't worry about that. That is what they say, you know, they're going to beg. Say, please, and they will keep begging till you give them something, you know. And so we have a lot of beggars there when you walk in the street. But here we can see that he was blind, and also he was begging. But he sat on that way where Jesus was passing through. And one thing was very good about this man, that though he was blind, but he wasn't deaf. And he wasn't dumb either. So he has ability to hear and to talk. So here was the Lord Jesus Christ going through that way. In verse 36, and hearing the multitude, there multitude of people were going with him. Not few, but multitude. The Bible says, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. So he was very inquisitive to ask, what's going around here? I can hear the noise, though I can't see, I can hear and I can also see people talking. So he was very inquisitive to know what was going on. But there was someone who was very kind enough to tell him that in verse 37, and that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And then in verse 38, we see then he cried out saying, Jesus, thou the son of David, have mercy on me. So he put his voice together. He heard the voice. He knew the name. And so he cried. And he says, thou the son of David, have mercy on me. And we can see that, you know, the Lord, as he went through, he knew what was happening there. He knew everything. You can't tell Lord what he doesn't know. He knows everything about each and every one of us. He even knows how many hairs in our head. Anybody try to count it? You try? I don't know how many hairs you might take. Even may won't complete it. But Lord knows exactly each and every hair is in our head. So Lord knows everything about everybody. And we cannot say that Lord doesn't know. Whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we talk about, he very much knows everything about each and every one of us. So here the Lord knew. He knew there was a blind man. He knew there was a need there. But the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't a blind person. He wasn't even a deaf person. He wasn't even a dumb. But he knew the need. But here the first thing we see that he gave opportunity to everybody that was in the crowd and also to the blind man. He didn't leave the blind man because he can cry out that, oh, I'm the victim here. I'm victimized here with my blindness and I'm poor and I'm begging. But here he gave opportunity to the crowd and the disciples they were walking through with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a multitude of them. See, everybody has an opportunity there. And the Lord knew what he's going to do. He also passed by that blind man knowing that what the need was with this man. So he gave opportunity to you, he gave opportunity to me today to look into the needs, to look into the situation, that how we can address these things and how we can bring those things before the throne of grace so the Lord can minister to each and every one of us as we are looking unto him. So Lord wants to do a great work in us. Maybe today we may be blind. I don't know, we may be deaf. And we may be dumb. But Lord wants to help us to see that we can see properly and do something about our blindness. Or even though we know, we talk, we hear things, but even though when it comes to do things for God, we either can be blind, we either can be dumb, or we either can be deaf. Because God has given each and every one of us a responsibility. We have a great responsibility today. If we're born again, we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have a responsibility. And our responsibility is that not don't to walk like a blind person or a dumb person or a deaf person, but we have to take this gospel wherever we go. Either by sharing the gospel, either by giving a tract out, or either by living an example. It is always good to live by example because that's a good thing people can see Christ in us so that they can glorify him. So here we can see that, you know, he gave opportunity to everyone there, and today the great opportunity has come to you and I so that we can take this opportunity and spread the gospel. An opportunity comes to us every day, every time, every moment, and we need to utilize those things that is important to be able to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to many who are blind today, many that are deaf today, and even many that are begging to know the answer. And we have a lot of people around us today, whether it's schooling with us, working with us, or maybe our neighbors and our friends and our families as well. So we have a great obligation here to go tell them, compel them about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the coming Savior. He's going to come soon, and that is very soon, according to what we see today in the world and according to what the Bible talks about. But opportunity is here for you and I today. How we take it, how we do things about it is all up to you and I today. So when we get opportunity to share the gospel, we don't let it go by. Anybody comes through our door, whether it's through our school ministry, whether it's through our Nehemiah project, or whether it's through people coming to see me for some reason or another, I take opportunity to share with them about what the Lord is doing in the ministry where we are. So we get opportunity to share to the people. And here the Lord gave them the opportunity too. He wants them to see things. He wants them to know things. He wants them to address to the thing. But unfortunately, we see that none of them were very keen about taking this opportunity and addressing to the Savior. Somebody would have come and, "Master, look at this man. He's blind. He's deaf. He cannot see. Please do something about it." But they all were busy in their own thing. They all were interested in their own thing. Nobody took even a notice to help this beggar begging on the street. And so bringing his, need to be met. But the Bible says the Lord gave him the opportunity too. So he took his opportunity. And in verse 38, the blind man, he cried to the Lord. And he says that the blind man saw that these people that is going around him is no help to him. They saw it. Nobody will have any kind of help to him. So he said, if I don't cry now, if I don't call out, I'm going to miss this opportunity. So what he did, he took his opportunity and he cried and said, "Thou, the Son of David, have mercy on me." Remember, there is only one thing he required was mercy. He didn't require anything else. In his cry, he was seeking God's mercy. He wants the Lord to have mercy upon him. He didn't put anything else. He didn't even look at what the crowds were doing. But only one thing he cried upon, "Lord, have mercy on me." That should be our prayer today, isn't it? Lord, have mercy on me. You know, we need God's mercy. We need to cry to God for mercy. We need to seek God's mercy. We need to look people around and say, "God, have mercy on those people. They are lost. They don't know." You know, I face battle every day with the priest or the Hindus, and I cry, "God, please have mercy on them." Because they don't know. They are dedicated, they are committed for their idols and that all those things there. And they are so dedicated, they go day in and day out. And we Christians, we born-again believers know Christ is our Lord and Savior. What opportunity it is to cry for God's mercy on the lives of people that is around us. May God have mercy on us and gave us this opportunity so that we can take time and cry and bring those people before the throne and ask God for His mercy. We want result quickly, isn't it? We want to tell somebody about the gospel. We're waiting when he says yes so that I can go with him with the sinner's prayer. But we need to cry for God's mercy. As he cried for God's mercy. Because this is the only opportunity I have. So he raised his voice and said, "God, have mercy on me." And verse 39, was as the people went by, and the Bible says, "And they which went before him rebuked him." Just imagine those people. They all were going before him and they rebuked him that he should hold his peace. Now, there must be people slapping in his head, "You blind man, keep quiet. You're making a lot of noise here. Come on, man. Keep quiet." Just imagine that poor blind person calling for mercy. And here is a people who could have, addressed the issue. And here was a people who could have, said, "Yes, this is a need. I can see it. He can't see. Let me pick him up. Let me take it to the Savior." "No, you keep quiet." They all know must be grumble over him. And as the Bible says, when they sought to hold him peace, then he cried louder, but he cried so much more.
So he was not going to give it up. He said, I don't care, slap me, or you push me away, you pull my hair, or you pull my hair. I'm going to call. So here the Bible says what he did. He called, he cried much more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. So he cried. Even all the obstacles that was around him, even the difficult situation he was there in, there was no help from the crowd. There was no one who was having that kind of compassion upon this person. Everybody was want to see what the Lord will do to do things for them. Everybody wanted to go with the Lord. But here, he cried louder. And this is what God tells us, that now we need to cry louder to the Lord. And sometimes we are just like, you know, popcorn prayers. How many of you know what popcorn is? We love to eat popcorn, isn't it? We just pop in and pop out. And every time we go to the Lord in prayer, we just pop in and pop out. Lord, I'm so busy, okay, I'll cover it in the evening. We don't spend quality time in prayer. Prayer is key. And we need to pray and pray and pray if you want to see result. We need to leave it to God. We don't bring things in our hand. Many times we think, you know, I'm a pastor and I got all the answers. No, I don't. We don't have all the answers. Oh, we can tell people about this. No, we can't. If anybody can do that, it's the Lord. We just need to cry for mercy. So here was the man, you know, in his desperate need, in desperate situation, in his he desperately cried to God. Because out here it was hopeless. They couldn't find anybody could come to help him. But he looked to the Lord. In every situation, it teaches us, every circumstances we stand on, whatever it may be in our life today, it is one place we can focus, and our focus need to be on the Lord himself. Amen? Be excited, because our focus need to be on the Lord only. If we focus on the world, we're not going to achieve much. But if we focus on the Lord, we see he's going to do great things in us. And he wants to do great things. He wants to do mighty things in us. And not only in us, and through us, to reach out to the others. But we want to see properly. So we need to call. I need to cry to the Lord. I need to ask for his mercy like this blind man. Every morning, you know, I'm very excited what the Bible says. His mercy is new. Every morning, amen. Just imagine that he doesn't give us stale mercy next in the morning when he gets up, isn't it? Because the Bible promises us his mercy is new every morning. I wake up in the morning, praise God. He got great things for me. He goes wonderful for me because his mercy is new every morning. So I learned to cry for the mercy of God. Things that we want to achieve in life, things that we want to achieve in ministry, we need to call unto God's mercy. Only then God sees that our genuine prayer, when he sees that we're genuinely calling for things that we want to do for his glory, he will supply abundantly. And we are very grateful for the work and ministry in Fiji. We started with nothing. And I think Brother Rod has been there. He can relate to everything he saw there. With that little today, God has given us much. And he continued to, little by little, he was able to do great work. And we keep calling for his mercy. We keep crying for his mercy. We like to see that not one little child perish. We want to see that little child come to know and acknowledge Jesus as the Lord and Savior. What a great opportunity. To see that one little one come from a religious background and come to know Christ. Come with question in their heart. What a privilege. What a privilege. To sit with that little fellow and talk about the Lord. That's a great work. That's a great work that the Lord has opened for us. So we need to cry for his mercy. As this blind man cried out loud to the Lord. And the Lord says here in verse 40, and the Lord Jesus said here, and the Lord stopped and commanded him to be brought unto him. What a thrill that was when the Lord stopped and asked him to be brought to him. And when he came nigh to him, he asked him, in verse 41, he says, saying, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" Simple question the Lord asks. "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." What a humble lesson we can have here. This guy humbly came to the Lord, and in his humbleness, he requested what his need was. He didn't complain about what the crowd was doing. He didn't whinge about what was going around us. He didn't stop and say, "Lord, you know, I've been begging here for all of my life. Nobody caring about me." He didn't look at his situation, how he was. He didn't just say unto these people, you know, in this crowd, "They pulled me, they stopped me." But only he said, "Lord, I may receive my sight." Because he wanted to see. And this would be our prayer too. "Lord, I want to see. I want to see happening in our lives today. And I want to, Lord, to see things, Lord, as this man got his sight." So what a very humble experience that was to go before the Lord and humbly request so that I can see. We may see properly today, but if I'm not equipped with what God wants us to be equipped with, telling others about the good news, I may be blind. I need to see. I need to see the need. I need to have that burden. Like this old beggar, or young, I don't know his age or what type of, but he was in need. He wanted to see. And that was his request. What are we asking today? What is our request to the Lord this morning? When he got up, what was our request first thing? It was about our complaint or what, who's doing what? Or we just come humbly before him and say, "Lord, thank you." That's what he wants to hear from us. He doesn't want to hear much about what is going around us. "Lord, I was so busy yesterday. I'm so tired, Lord. I can't do, I can't go to church. Oh, Lord, you understand. I'll cover next week." Come on. Lord just wants us to say, "Thank you." Simple. "Lord, thank you. I know what I'm being through. I know what is my circumstances is." You know, by complaining and just be grumpy about it, we won't find a solution. Just simply, "Lord, thank you." That's what the Lord wants. He knows everything. He just wants to hear if we appreciate him. We teach our children, we need to appreciate each in everything. I teach in our school, you need to learn to how to appreciate your parents. I ask this question to the student. Did anybody this morning went and hug his mom and they say thank you? And they say, "Oops, I didn't do that." So next time they know that I'm going to ask, they said, when I ask them, "Did anybody this morning again say thank you to your mom and daddy?" Everybody going to start raising their hand. "I did." And their parents, they do appreciate it because their children learn how to say thank you for some little thing the parents does. We need to let us say, "Thank you, Lord." Because he does great things for us. You know, the greatest thing the Lord does in our life, he saved me from the sin. He saved me from my bondage. He took me out of the darkness. He shined his marvelous light on me. Hallelujah! I am saved today, and I am born again by the grace of God. How merciful he was. And I need to thank him. Thank him, thank him every day, every moment, every second of the breath I have. I need to thank him because without his, you know, grace, without his mercy, I wouldn't be here today. And I thank God that he saved me out of the religious and in Hinduism. And today, I'm telling people there is a great God, a mighty God, who loves us, who died for us, and he wants to do great work in you. If we appreciate him, how many times we really appreciate God for great thing he does? Even this morning when you wake up, we, you know, first thing, you know, need to come, Lord, thank you. Wow, I can walk, I can see, I can talk, you know, I'm around my family, I can hug my children, I can do this and do that. If I don't wake up this morning, I'm finished, I'm gone, isn't it? So every moment, every second of our life, I need to learn how to appreciate what God is doing in my life. If I learn how to be thankful to God and appreciate Him, you see, God will always be great and wonderful things He's going to show you and I today. And things He's going to bring. You know, there are a lot of things that we know that, you know, is not working right around us, among us. But we need to appreciate God and thank Him because He's going to bring those things to pass. I can't do anything about it. None of us can do anything about it. If you want to see something happening and things God going to bring around us, is that I learn to appreciate my Savior. So we see that the opportunity is given. And we see that, you know, they took not the opportunity, but He took the opportunity. Then we see that now, in His humble request, He humbly cried for mercy. He wants God's mercy. He didn't say, God, make me a millionaire today. Even though, don't worry about, I can't see, but I want to be a millionaire. No, He just asks for mercy. And that's what we cry every day, every morning in our life. Lord, have mercy. You know, we have a lot of children, a lot of parents comes and knock our door. Please, please, please take my children. I have many times in town, people come and hold my leg. You know, that's a tradition where people know, they think, oh, I'm a priest or I'm a pastor, they will bow down before you. I say, hey, don't do that. They will hold your leg and they will beg to you to take their children. Please help my child. And I go cry, Lord, have mercy on me. I can't have all the children in the school. If I have, I can't supply the books. So I cry for God's mercy. Lord, have mercy so that I can help the child, not only help the child to give them education, so that the child can know you as Lord and Savior, so that the parents can see the difference in the life of the child, that what you are doing in his life, so that they can know that there is a true living God. That's what we're crying for. We're crying for mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. So here the second thing we see, that he cried for mercy. Then here we can see that when he did, he appreciated what he did. In verse 41, and when the Lord asked the question, he just asked, Lord, if I can see my sight. Then in verse 42 he says, and Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith had saved thee. He said, thy faith have saved thee. He has that confidence in the Lord. And that's why he cried for mercy. He was so confident enough, even all kind of obstacle was there for him. Even he can't see who's saying what. Even he can't see who's pulling him or who's pushing him. But he did not look at those obstacles. He only knew that, I'm going to call to the Lord. The confidence that he built in himself, despite there was no help. And many times you and I may feel the same, that we know that we need the help. We know we are just need so desperately. And there's no one around us to help us. We can only rely on God. We can have that faith in Him. Like this man has his faith. And the Lord saw his faith. And the Lord saw his confidence in Him. He was so confident despite all the problems that he faced, to call the name of the Lord. It's not an easy name to call, isn't it? Not everybody likes to call the name of the Lord. Not everybody is happy about calling the name of the Lord. We are very privileged this morning. Amen. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, be excited. We need to live in excitement. Because He saved me. He saved us. He gave us a life. And I want to tell everybody what Jesus is doing in our lives. We want to live that life so that when I walk and people look at, man, I saw him going to church this morning. Oh, he's coming very exciting this after the church. What about I go and my neighbor look and you and I go, oh, something is gone old. And what happened to him? He was going, you know, very first and coming like that. Hey, we need to be excited of what God is going to do in our lives today. because we cried unto Him. Confidence. We need to have that confidence in the Lord, not on people, not on anybody. We can't put confidence in one another, but put your confidence on the Lord. And when you put the confidence on the Lord like this man did, he received the sight. Because he knew that only one person I can trust. There is only one person I can put my confidence is on the Lord. And that's why the Bible, you know, we can see scriptures after scripture. I can go to scripture after scripture. But if I don't have the little confidence in the Lord, then what the use of quoting scriptures? What the use of, you know, quoting scriptures to others when I don't have the confidence of knowing that God can provide, God can do things, God can do great and mighty things, isn't it? Because He's promised us. His promise was there for us. All through the scriptures we see that He promised us to do great and mighty things. But we need to just have the confidence, the trust on Him. You know, and that's why, I like reading book of Proverbs time and time and over again. Because it gives us the confidence. We see the battle, and we see the result. We see the answers, what the Lord has given. Lord gives us the confidence. Don't worry, we've got another few hours before we go. Here we can see that, you know, he received his sight. Then in verse 43, and immediately the Bible says, he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. When he received his sight, he started to glorify God. When God answers our prayer, we need to glorify Him. We need to start, as I said, we need to give thanks to Him. We need to adore Him. We need to, even the little things He does in our life, many times we forget to glorify God. Sometimes we are ashamed to glorify God. We need to build that confidence in us so that we can glorify God every moment of our life. Like this man glorified God, because God has done great things in your life. Great things He has done in his life. He sees. You may not be seeing today because you don't have that glorification that the Lord needs from your lips, from your heart. You want to see that glorification from your heart, not from your lips only. Or come to say, oh, thank you, Lord. You want to see it deep in your heart. And you see that He's going to bring things to pass. All things that you and I may think that is impossible, He will make it possible for you and I. I've seen a lot of things where we are. We totally rely on God. Every moment, every minute. You know, there was a man, a Fijian man, came with his 4 children. He wanted one of his child to be enrolled in our school. I said, no problem, I will enroll. And I told him, this is what it costs our child. He said, oh, I don't have money, I can't pay. Then I said, okay, I'll give a scholarship. Half you pay and half we'll see how the Lord provides. He was excited about doing that. And all of a sudden, then he said, please, I got another 3. Can you take all 4 of them? I was talking for 1. He wants me to take 4. And my wife says, no. She was saying like this, behind my, you know, this man. And I prayed about it. And I have confidence in Lord. The Lord will provide. And we took 4 of them for this year. How the Lord provide, I don't know. But Lord did provide. Those 4 students came through and went through our school. And their lives has been changed because God made the change. They were very quiet, shy, and their countenance were different. But Lord changed life. I see changes in the life of those children because God does the change. Just imagine if I would just shun the door and didn't have the faith to call on to the Lord. Those souls was important to God. And those souls came to know Christ. Even though the father didn't last long. And after a year, he passed away. Even that half that he promised to pay, he couldn't pay now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Confidence. We need to build in God. And glorify God. We need to glorify God from our heart. Give Him glory. Even if you have a worst day, things doesn't work the way you think, you want, or you like things, and it doesn't happen, you get into your knees and start to glorify God. You see, things will be different. You'll be excited. Man, God brings such a joy and excited. But look, In closing, the second part of that verse, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto the Lord. When they saw it, what they saw the great miracle happen. They saw the blind can see. And when they saw it, then they start to glorify God. Are we one of them? When things happen, then we want to glorify God. Or we want to just keep glorifying God, even if it doesn't happen this year. Even if it doesn't happen next year. Even if it doesn't happen next year, or year after year. Still, do you want to glorify Him? Or you want to see things happen, then you're going to glorify God. What is our position today in glorifying God? Can we worship Him daily? Even thing doesn't work the way I want to work for me, but still I'm going to give glory to God. Still I'm going to praise Him. Still I'm going to tell others about the goodness of God. Oh, I can't speak about the Lord because He has done nothing in my life today. Here, they gave glory because they saw it. I don't want to give glory because I saw things happening. I want to glorify God because I know Him as my Lord and my personal Savior. I know that He lives in me. I know that if I die now without a shadow of doubt, I will be with Him in heaven. That's the confidence we hold for the glory of God. Have that confidence. Give glory to God. Despise your situation. Problems, oh, whatever, God will do great and mighty things. No wonder Jeremiah just linked to God. He knew God's promise that He will fulfill it. Despite that everything was folding apart, he stood up for the glory of God. You see here that God wants us to glorify Him despite our situation. Let's give glory to God. Be excited. Be thankful. Don't worry about time. I got another hour to go, Pastor says. Yeah, I can take all the time I can. But I pray with all my heart this morning, Lord, have mercy on us to build my confidence so that I can see, so that I can give glory and honor to Him who created me, who saved me, who called me as a child of His. Can we give Him the glory? Father, we thank You. We thank You this morning, Lord, for Your grace, Your mercy, Your kindness that You have showed, Lord, on the cross of Calvary. It took it all for us. It was us, Lord, who were supposed to be nailed there. But You took it all for us. And You nailed it on the cross. And You have said, it is finished. How exciting it is, Lord.